inquires into consumer affairs and investigates the humour of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
Ironmonger, have you got 6-inch nails?
Yes, I've got 6-inch nails.
Scratch me back, will you? It's driving me mad. A man was buying a car on hire purchase and got behind on the repayment, you see, and after a time, the hire purchase company tried to shame him into paying up, and they wrote, "What would your neighbours think if we came and repossessed your car?" He wrote back immediately, "I've taken it up with my neighbours, and they all agree it would be a very dirty trick."
Butcher,
yeah?
I don't like all these flies in your shop.
Oh, yeah? Well, tell me which ones you do like. I'll trace the others off then. Chemist, can I have some soap?
Certainly, sir. Would you like it scented or unscented?
Well, it's all the same to you. I'll take it with me, thank you. Dear shopkeeper, these mothballs you saw me are no good.
Eh? Why not?
I haven't hit a single moth with them.
Ironmonger, could I have a mouse trap, please? And quickly, I've got to catch a bus.
Sorry, we don't sell mouse traps that big. Sorry. My grandfather came over to this country many, many years ago from Russia as an immigrant. And he was successful. He went into the grocery business in the East End of London. And I remember going to see him at a triad in this shop. And everyone looked for the salt. There were bags of salt on the counter, bags of salt under the counter, bags of salt on the shelves, in the corners, stacked up in the shop, outside in the yard. And I remember saying, "My word, Grandad, you must sell a lot of salt." He said, "That's the trouble," he said. "I don't sell a tablespoon of salt. I don't sell that much salt. But the fella that sold it to me, can he sell salt?"
Had we been doing this program 5 years ago, we weren't doing the series, but I shouldn't have been doing this particular program, I dare say we wouldn't have called it Consumer Affairs. We'd have called it Shopping, or something vague like that. Consumer Affairs is one of those modern sciences which have sprung up recently, fully fledged with its own daunting battery of jargon. Of course, it's always been there, just we didn't know what to call it before. Buying and selling is basic to any form of society, and maybe it's even more important in this country than some other countries. As Napoleon said,
"England is a nation of shopkeepers."
If that were true, who would actually do the shopping? Robert Louis Stevenson summed up the basis of economy.
"Everyone lives by selling something."
But as long as things have been sold, there has been suspicion of the sellers by the buyers. The old Latin tag, "Let the buyer beware." Here's a definition from Anarchus, a Scythian philosopher who lived about 600 years BC.
"The market is a place set apart where men may deceive each other."
This distrust, which has been behind most consumer transactions for so long, makes even the simplest errand to the shops difficult. And when the matter is slightly delicate, the problem is almost insurmountable. I mean, imagine you were returning a toupee to a department store.
Do you have a private room of some kind? I'd like to discuss returning a Christmas gift. No, it's not underwear or anything like that. See, my wife bought me a toupee, and I'd like to return it. It's under the hat, yeah. I don't know what model it is. Not it's the crew cut with the widow's peak. Yeah. I think Mr. Wonderful is that. Well, whatever you call it. Anyway, I'd like to return it. I'll show it to you in just a minute. There's some people coming. Don't stare at me. Just look at me. Just wait till they go by this. Are they by now? See, there it is. The problem is, I notice people pass me on the street and they start laughing, you know, after they've gone by. And it makes me look years younger, I know, but they still laugh, see. And we went to this party, see, around Christmas time, and I bent down to put some cheese dip on a cracker. And it fell, you know, the toupee fell. into the cheese dip, you know. And, everybody stop having cheese dip. You know. And the hostess, you know, she started crying and everything. And so we spent a couple hours trying to fish it out of the cheese dip. And I took it home and I put it in the washer dryer, you know. We have that's another problem. We have one of those windows, you know, and the kids like to sit and watch it, you know. And now they're mad at me because I'm returning it. See. No, I don't want the full exchange. I like to get a real cheap one, you know, just to put in the washer for the kids. But no, see, I didn't know my wife was going to hit for me. Well, looking back, you know, one morning she came in with a piece of paper and she had me put my head on it and she traced it. She never told me why she did it, you know. So. Well, see, the main complaint is it doesn't do, you know, what you say it's going to do. See, I understand it makes me look years younger, yeah, but see. Yeah, I know it stays on a hurricane. See, but, we're from Iowa, and, we really don't get that many hurricanes. So mainly, I want it to stay on when I go down for the cheese dip. The price tag. And you'd have to have the price tag before you could, give me a return. Can I use your phone a minute? You want to take care of these other people? Hi. Yeah, listen. You want to call the Hennessy's? Ask them to look in the bottom of the dish, see if there's a price tag in there.
Bob Newhart. Wondering toupee or not toupee. Like many things in this country, consumer affairs are surrounded by snobbery. There are still views on where is the right place to shop, even in these times of shrinking spending power. Some people wouldn't be seen dead in a supermarket. Some people wouldn't be seen alive in a supermarket. And others take the snobbery even further. A report from the Evening Standard.
The landlord asked at St. Marylebone Rent Tribunal today why he thought a surgeon was an undesirable tenant for a room in Upper Berkeley Street, replied, he does his own shopping. It's detrimental to this class of house of people that carry shopping. It's not liked by other tenants.
Methods of shopping vary in different classes. As a result, during the last war, rationing affected shoppers in different ways. Here's Lord Woolton, reported in a wartime Manchester Guardian.
I found that better off people had many more difficulties than working class women. They told me how difficult it was not to be able to phone and get what they wanted.
War can be pretty tough. As well as having different methods of shopping and going to different shops, the upper classes also choose their purchases in an idiosyncratic way, according to this cutting from Menswear magazine.
The outfitter in question had one client, a peer's son, who takes his two servants with him when attending for a breeches fitting. If the servants can pull the breeches off his legs, he insists on an alteration.
Consumer affairs are two-sided, and so far we've only spoken of the customers. The other side of the counter is just as important. Samuel Butler.
Any fool can paint the picture, but it takes a wise man to be able to sell it.
Yes. Selling is an art, and indeed a science. The shopkeeper has always to keep abreast with what the customer wants and take account of all the factors which affect this. A report from the News Chronicle.
A woman buyer for a leading city fashion house said, nobody knows quite why the Birmingham figure should be so difficult. It may be something to do with new regulations in the factories. Almost all the girls sit down to work nowadays, and that is bound to have awful results in the end.
A shopkeeper must understand the psychology of his customers. A thought from Earl Wilson.
To sell something, tell a woman it's a bargain, and tell a man it's deductible.
A deeper analysis of how the life and economy of the small trader are conducted, let's hear two acknowledged experts.
What's under there? What you buy? What you get?
We're on our way, Dad. 40 nick of that nut under there.
Nearly 4,000 of them.
4,000?
Really? Let's have a look. What's this then?
What they look like? Their teeth. 4,000 sets. 4,000 sets of size. 40 liquor a lot. You see, that's the way they run a business.
What does 4,000 sets of course have?
Well, it depends whether you ain't got any choppers, don't it? They've got them on you once, and they're very useful, aren't they?
Hey, Milan, what's the matter with you? I've never seen false teeth before. Yeah, in a glass of water, but never a card, though. How many did you say you got there?
I told you, about 4,000.
Ups and downs.
Well, I don't know. You don't ask that sort of question when you're above mine. Here, come on, help me unload them and get them sorted out into sizes.
Where did you get them?
From a dental laboratory. They was having a clear out. You got an old answer, Melbourne.
Hey, I'll bring them into the house, are you?
Of course I am. I can't get them undercover. Am I right?
Well, I'm not having them in my house. I ain't sleeping in no house with 4,000 sets of 4,000 sets. Let's go on to Italy.
They're not going to bite you.
It's not natural.
I know they're not natural. They're false teeth. That's what I'm for.
Well, I ain't touching them. It's horrible. It's like Birkenair.
It ain't like Birkenair. These are teeth. I use false choppers. Never seen the inside of a man. Of course. I've been a gateway to our fortune.
What are you going to do with it?
Sell them.
You too.
Oh, who do you think? People ain't got no choppers of their own.
Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett as Steptoe and Son. Much of the new science of consumer affairs is concerned with getting a customer a fair deal. Consumer organizations act as watchdogs and spend much of their time investigating the complaints of ill-used shoppers. Some shops are slightly ambivalent in their attitude to complaints, like the one in which this notice appeared.
Customers should note that any complaint of incivility on the part of any member of our staff will be severely dealt with.
Some complaints reflect principally on the complainer. Here's one voiced in a letter to the Sun Express.
The Labour government gets itself elected with an overwhelming majority. During the past few months, I've not met one who voted for him. Despite this socialist utopia, I still cannot purchase a pair of braces with elastic.
Why did we belt up? Here's a different cause for complaint from the Evening Standard.
In a shoplifting case at Southend today, it was said that a woman, after stealing a canvas bag, went to the store manager and said it was not suitable. She asked for a 25-shilling refund.
The best approach with any sort of complaint is always to go straight to the source of the trouble and confront the shopkeeper in person.
I wish to make a complaint!
Sorry, what's that?
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this parrot. Well, I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
I have been at the Norwegian Blues. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it, my lad. He's dead. That's what's wrong with it.
No, he's resting.
But me, I know a dead parrot and I see one. And I'm looking at one right now.
No, he's not dead. He's resting. That's remarkable bird in Norwegian blue, isn't it, eh? Beautiful plumage.
A plumage? Don't get you into it. He's stone dead.
No, he's resting.
All right, then, if he's resting, I'll wake him up. Hello, Mr. Point Parrot. I got a nice fresh banana.
Sure, do.
No, he didn't. You in the cage.
Oh, never.
Get it. What the hell is it?
My God, it.
Hello, Parrot. Oh, my God. It's going on. Come along, Paul.
Of course, was the famous parrot sketch from Monty Python's Flying Circus, starring John Cleese and Michael Palin and a non-parrot. Consumer affairs are now considered so important because the society we live in is becoming increasingly consumer-orientated. This is not necessarily a bad thing. according to the economist J.K. Galbraith.
Consumer wants can have bizarre, frivolous, or even immoral origins, and an admirable case can still be made for a society that seeks to satisfy them. But the case cannot stand if it is the process of satisfying the wants that creates the wants.
There are serious moral dangers in a consumer society. Too much reliance on property can be a threat to all the old values, like patriotism. A survey from the Observer.
We asked an assistant to recommend the best dishwasher that money can buy. She came up with an American model. The best tape recorder? Japanese. The best tent? French. The best gun? Ah, that, said the assistant, depends on what you want to shoot. I want to shoot myself. In that case, replied the assistant, unmoved, a Weberian Scot should do the trick. At least I could die back in Britain.
It's difficult to duck consumer pressures because we're surrounded by reminders in the form of advertisements of all the things we lack. Advertisements can be very persuasive. Here's one from the Harwich and Dovercourt Standard.
Ladies, start the new year well. Treat hubby to a tip cart load of manure.
From a Liverpool greengrocer's.
Find William Burrs, just like tin.
And here's an advertisement in the Sheffield Star.
I bought a few of your indigestion tablets last week. Now I feel a new man. Original may be seen on request.
And finally, from a Canadian newspaper.
There is no substitute for our coffee, so do not try it.
It's hardly surprising that hymns have been written to the Consumer Society, particularly for the great festival of consumerism, Christmas.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill the cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens. Mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 306, a tea, a four. Relations, sparing no expense, I'll send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil, just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the yuletide a pay. Angels we have heard on high, tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Tom Lehrer. Very few people, when it comes down to it, like parting with their money. And perhaps this is why shopkeepers have always been regarded with such suspicion. Obviously, there have always been cheats behind the counter. The double-crossing shopkeeper is a traditional figure. Let's hear some tradesmen's epitaphs.
Here lies an ironmonger. Here is life to stop. But he won't be long in his coffin if the nails were bought in his shop.
A grocer.
Here lies a grocer, name of John, and here it gives me pleasure to end my epitaph and, like John, content you with half measure.
A butcher.
A butcher, name of Tam McNab, is dead but not forgotten. He lies for once beneath his slab, and like his meat, he's rotten.
Complaints against people in shops nowadays are not so often on grounds of cheating as on grounds of sheer apathy. An observation from George Mikesh.
All English shop assistants are Miltonists. A Miltonist firmly believes that they also serve who only stand and wait.
But shop assistants can sometimes be very helpful in explaining to customers how the consumer society works. A letter published in Competitors Journal.
I went into a big store in town and asked the assistant for a small packet of washing powder. She handed me a packet marked large. I'm afraid you didn't understand, I said. I asked for a small packet. That's right, madam, said the assistant. It comes in three sizes, large, giant, and super. I gave you the small size, large.
And shop assistants can tell you what stock is and is not available. A letter from Woman's Mirror.
I went to a large store to buy a Bible my nephew requested for his Christmas present. When I asked to see some Bibles, I was told, sorry, madam, all our Bibles have been put away owing to the Christmas rush.
Large stores presumably know their own business best, and they have to be prepared for every eventuality. Though some eventualities are more unexpected than others.
Hello, Nichols Department Store. All right. Oh, yes, I'll wait. Emergency, hang on there for just a second. This is an emergency, and I'll let you go in just a second. See, here's the thing. See, you don't know me. I work in the office building right across the street from your store, and I was, Southwest, and I was just sitting, I was looking out of my window, and I noticed there's a woman hanging from a window ledge on your building about 10 flights up, and she said, no, operator, you're missing the point. I don't wish to speak to the woman. Now, I'd like somebody to go up there and pull her in. Well, I don't care who. You know, how about you? You're over there. What about yourself? What time is your coffee break? Well, I don't think she can wait till then. You know, who knows how long she's been hanging there before I notice her. I can see her from here, and her knuckles are very white. The woman's been hanging there for hours, obviously. I'm afraid she'll slip, you know, before your Craig comes. What if I say, well, do you think that department could help? Oh, all right, would you connect me, please? Thank you. Hello, complaint department. You don't know me. I work in the office building right across the street from your store, and at all the Southwest. And I was just sitting and looking out of my window, and oh, pretty nice out. And I noticed there's a woman hanging from a window ledge on your store about 10 flights up. She's about to fall down unless we get hello there. Hello. Oh, hello, madam. Listen, what happened to the man I was just talking to? Oh, well, put a cold towel behind his neck. That'll bring him out of it. It's my fault. I scared him. See, here's the thing. See, you don't know me. I work in the office building right across the street from your store and the Southwest. And I was just looking out of my window. And, no, it's pretty nice out. And there's a woman hanging from a window ledge on your building. She's going to fall down from there if we don't describe her. What for? Well, you can't have any trouble finding her. She's hanging out of a window over there. Lady, I'm looking at the building right now. She's the only one hanging out of a window. So I hate to take the time. Well, okay. Gray hair and she's a little chunky. And she's holding some packages between her legs. Well, I can't tell from here if your store label is on the packages, madam. A woman's across the street. Well, what about the department on that floor? So just somebody open a window and pull her in? It's a simple... Well, would you connect me, please? Thank you. Hello, lingerie. Listen, you don't know me. I work in the office building right across the street from your store. And I was just sitting and looking out. Don't you want to know the corner, madam? It's Southwest. And I was just sitting looking out of my window, and it's a lovely day. And there's a woman. There's a woman hanging from a window ledge, and it looks to be on your floor. And I was just hoping that... I don't know how she got out there, lady. I've been sitting here looking at your building in lingerie. Maybe she tried on something and snapped out. I don't know. But she's going to fall off unless we pull her in. I just talked to that department, madam. Well, okay. Hello? Complaint department, it's me again. How are you feeling now, sir? Now, sir, you've got to get a hold of yourself and go up there and pull that poor woman in. And she's going to fall down from there. But, all right, you go up there and I'll sign, and I'll just talk to her through this window and cheer her on as you go up. Lady, right here across the street. Now, a little lower. To the right. Here. Fine, thank you. Don't wave, madam. Don't wave. And with both hands. Listen, I'm getting some help for you. The man will be there in a minute. He'll pull you in. Listen, I think it'll be easier for you to hang out if you let those packages go between your legs. I know, right? You got new ones. Let them go.
That's right. There they go. That's right. Oh, poor fellow. All right, now. Madam, the umbrella over your arm. If you should slip, we don't know how much help this will be, but open it. It may slow your fall. No. It's only bad luck if you're inside, lady. Take a chance. There's the man. There, reach up. Slowly. Leg. Other leg. That's it. Good. Thank you very much.
Hello, operator. Say, would you send somebody up to 10th floor? The complaint department man is hanging from a window ledge out there.
That was Shelley Berman. Before we leave consumer affairs, let's just hear a thought from the American Ray Fine.
What this country needs is a supermarket cart with four wheels that point in the same direction.
And finally, it's all hope to follow the proud example of the P.G. Woodhouse character who said,
I don't owe a penny to a single soul, not counting tradesmen, of course.
Goodbye.
Well, was it a goodbye?
No, because it wasn't. Something fell off.
Frank Bjork goes into Consumer Affairs was produced by Simon Brett.